By the way, this is tape. This is tape three. It's about 10:05 on the 13th of April, 2004. I want to say that I believe that I am an American patriot. I believe in the free enterprise system. I believe in a level playing field of competition. If you want to change that level playing field of competition to your advantage, basically you give me license to do that also when my opportunity comes around, because you're the ones, you are the leaders of the community, and you set the example, and you do the teaching, and you buy through example, through your actions you show the community how things are supposed to be done. I am one of the greatest followers you would ever meet, because I know you cannot be a good leader unless you are a good follower. I have followed all the parameters that I was supposed to have followed to get that property. You, on the other hand, the town of Granby, the people of Granby, the leaders of Granby, have not. You have conspired against me. And that, in doing so, and I understand it's a conspiracy, we can't prove anything. And with you, the way you change your minutes at all your meetings, I understand that. It can't be proven. I'm not that diligent to catch every problem and attack everything that you do. There's too many of you. It's too big of a task. But you have given me license, through your example, to do what I need to do. When I do this, that levels the playing field in my favor. So now we've got a lopsided playing field. Because when I come back at you, I'm going to destroy your side of the playing field. I'm going to destroy you. I always believed in paying my bills. you got to make money. And you do that, you know, if you got a champagne income with a beer taste, you're going to do well. And that's what I've always had. Always believed that's the way it should be. That's the only way I could get ahead. If you got a champagne taste with a champagne income, you're even. If you got a beer taste with a beer income, you're just even. If you got a champagne taste with beer income, you're screwed. So you got to have a beer taste with a champagne income, then you'll get ahead. And that's what I've always had. You've taken that away from me. You've taken that income away completely. And how you did it allows me to do what I need to do to make this right. And I'm taking it a step further in that, in leveling this playing field. I've always said, never get even. Don't get even. You either have to walk away or you have to get ahead. I am going to get ahead. Or maybe I'm just going to put you down. But it's going to cost you millions compared to the $50,000 you could have gotten out at my auction. You could have walked away. Compared to the $600,000 that I initially asked, who, a professional realtor, agreed with me on the value of that property and business was worth $595,000. She listed the property, had it listed for 2 years. We reduced it and reduced it and reduced it. And nobody, because of your anger, because of your malice, because of your hate, you would not work with me. So now, I believe that I have to leave this world with a debt so great to you it can never be repaid until the eternal, until the final judgment. We'll see what that cost is. Will it be too great? You know, maybe. But there's got to be some good come of this. And at this point, there is no good. I am here short of what I deserved. All I ever wanted was what I deserved. You denied me of that. You are there thinking you have gotten away with destroying a person, an outsider, and you have gotten your way. And that's wrong. That was man's will. It was not God's will. It was with your input. So now this, true, it is with my input also that I come back at you. But you gave me license to come back at you. You taught me how to act towards your neighbor. And that's how I'm going to do. And you will learn this lesson, that that is not the way to do it. I am going to sacrifice my life, my future, to show you, my miserable future that you gave me, to show you that what you did was wrong. I know the newspaper guy, he'd never admit it. That guy is told so many lies. That's one thing about lying. You tell a lie, usually you got to tell five more to cover that up. And then you got to tell five lies for each one of those five to cover those five up. And it just escalates. And pretty soon, all you're doing is lying. And you always, you know, you get caught in a lie, and how you do, you tell 10 more lies, and you bullshit your way out of it. I never used to do that. I never could do that. I didn't want to do that. If I was honest with people, straightforward, they knew where I stood. The deal was over with. It was done. The bad thing about being honest and straightforward and doing that is, people know where you stand and they try to take advantage of you. They take advantage of your good nature. They take advantage of the fact that they know that you're a good guy, you are a straight shooter, and that you're not going to retaliate on them when they fuck you. Well, folks, most of the time I believe that's probably true. But God built me to be here to prove to you that what you have been doing for God knows how many years is wrong. You picked on the wrong man. I'm not tough. I'm not that strong. What I'm going to do is above me. And God gave me that peace years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, in that hot tub, that I had to do this, that I could not do it without God's help, that it was His strength that would spur me on at 51 and 52 years old to get this job done. He would get the job done at the pace that I could do it. And I believe that is why He gave me last winter off. I was not fast enough. I did not have the energy that I, in my 40s and 50s, late early 50s, that I had when I was in my 30s. So He gave me the winter off. He says, Marv, you're not going to get it done. Go take off this winter. Go play. But next spring, after the hill climb, you've got to do this. You've got to get this done. And that was where I was. That was my goal, so to speak, was take the winter off, relax. You know, maybe something would come up to change my mind, that I wouldn't do that, that I would completely dismantle the MK tank. Didn't happen, folks. Didn't happen. Why didn't it happen? You had a whole winter to have something happen good to Marv Emyer. It didn't happen. So here I am, back there, doing what I have to do. I'm building the MK tank. And like I said earlier, maybe I'm repeating myself here, but God may be giving me a wide open path in building this to come up dead up against a brick wall. If I'm dead 30 seconds after I get out of that building, if I'm dead through an accident or a piece of steel that I lift up on the dozer yet drops down, something malfunctions, injures me, puts me in the hospital, kills me, whatever, that's, I'll accept that. But you're going to know what my intentions were, because basically my deadline, I've had deadlines and I've had to postpone them. You know, first it was supposed to be the spring of 2003 that this would happen. Then that got put off a month, and then things, I just didn't get things done. And it got put off until the fall, and now it's been put off till the spring. Well, you're going to know how intent I was on teaching you people that what you're doing is wrong. There's going to be other things that you're going to realize, that you're going to understand, hopefully. And maybe that's all that needs to be done to stop you from the greed you have, the hate you have, the anger and malice towards to outsiders. It's not good, folks. I don't think that just knowing what I'm doing is enough. I think God will bless me to get the machine done, to drive it, to do the stuff that I have to do up to a point, and then the machine will do one of two or three times. You're either going to blow me right off the fucking streets, I'm going to have a heart attack and die because I'm all pumped up. The machine's going to break. Or maybe it'll go all day and I'll run out of fuel. I don't know. I got a lot of fuel in that thing, let me tell you. So I'm trying to be as prepared as I can be to do what I believe needs to be done, what God has inspired me to do. And we'll see once where it goes. You know? Because it definitely is in God's hands. It is not in my hands. Without a doubt, I'm building it. But there's a reason why I am successful at continuing this project. Maybe it's just for me. Maybe I will get caught. And maybe I'll see how foolish it was. But if I don't, I know I'm going to be dead. There's no doubt about that in my mind. I am the co-captain of my life. God is first, I am second. Okay? This is where He's taken me. This is where you have tried to control my life. You have tried to be the captain of my life. You do not run my life. You did not determine my income. You did not determine what I desire, what I want, what I deserve. I determine that, and my God determines that. Not you people. No people do that. If they do, then you're a slave to them. And I am not a slave to man. I am a slave to God. And I am a slave to what God tells me I should have. And that's why we are where we are. Let's stop here. You know, this may be unimportant, but had a friend here in Grand Lake. Have a friend. Lives in Denver. Owns property up here. His name's Curtis Wright. I've known him for about 3 years. Pretty good guy. He's from Iowa. This guy walked away from a bad deal there in Minnesota, I guess. He had a partner who screwed him out of a lot of money. And he tells me that, you know, he dwelled on this for quite a while. And he rationalized this, that he deserved to get screwed and that he needed to quit thinking about his enemies and what they had done to him. He needed to be thinking about his friends. And that's why he lives today. He lives for his friends. Well, that's comforting to him. And that's good. And that's what it takes. I firmly believe that one day he will regret not taking some kind of action to recoup what he lost in Minnesota. Now, he may put it out of his mind for the rest of his life. But I know that affected that man in an adverse way. It hurt him. It killed his spirit to a large degree. This man, he's a hell of a wrestler. Wrestled for the Hawkeyes. I don't know. He wrestled for some Iowa team. He hates it when I get it wrong. Anyway, he's a good wrestler. And he had a lot of will and a lot of strength. And he was a winner. And when he lost there in Minnesota to that guy, basically his, I guess he walked away from the company and the guy was rid of him. And the guy went on to sell the business a short time thereafter for quite a huge amount of money. And Curtis lost all that. Well, I guess Curtis needs to be beat up even worse to get to that point where he says, enough is enough. I have been beaten to a point where I'm not going to take it anymore. And believe me, I have been beaten in my life. I have lost a greater fortune than I have, without a doubt. But I don't think that's what God had planned for me. I think God expected me to get that. And He expects me to do something to those who kept me now from getting that. From getting what I deserved. Well, I will get what I deserve in trying to make this justice, to get this, make this all right. I will get what I deserve. But I'm not afraid of death. That was another thing. This a movie I watched said, you know, there's a lot of things that'll gnaw a man's heart and soul, a lot worse than death. And you know, this will gnaw at me for the rest of my life. And I'm not going to live with it. I may die with it, but I will not live with it. I lost $57,000 in the mid-80s over at Taponis on a land scam that this realtor devised a scheme where he would have wraparound mortgages, and a corporation would sell these lots, and after so many years they would go bankrupt, and we as purchasers would have paid the county commissioner of Route County, his name was Visitainer, so many thousands of dollars. He'd have made thousands of dollars in real estate commissions, and everybody would come out of it winning except the owners of the land. And when we finally lost everything, there was 12 of us, I believe, in the group that still owned land there, of the over 100 lots that had been sold over that 8-year period or 10-year period. Most of the people had given up on their dreams to have that 40-acre parcel there, and they let the property be foreclosed on earlier. We were naive enough to believe that they finally, the economy would turn around and everything would get going. We didn't realize it was a legal scam. And there was 12 of us. We went and met with Francona and the attorneys in Boulder. We spent a day with this guy, paid him $1,500 to have this meeting, and he told us that there was nothing that he could do because the way it was set up. It was legal what they did, and it was called a forfeiture of equity, and the court frowned on that. But if we went to court, it cost us $30,000, and we'd still lose. Well, I walked away from that deal. There were two of the people, I believe, were close enough to having their lots paid off, that they paid them off and they got their 40 acres. But the rest of us weren't well-heeled enough to do that. So I walked away from that. It was $57,000 loss. And I wrote it off on my taxes, and I probably got, I don't know, $15,000, $18,000 back, where I didn't have to pay taxes anyway. But it was wrong. I had a partner. The first partner I had in the muffler business, he cost me well over $10,000. The first franchise I bought went bankrupt within 4 months after me giving in their franchise fee. That was a $10,000 loss. The real estate that I bought, the apartment complex, I owned that damn thing for 2.5 years, 3 years, I can't remember. Believed this realtor who went to this Christian Reformed church that I was attending. You know, I trusted this man. Wrong, Marv, wrong. Never trust man at all. Trust God and trust yourself. But don't trust another man. Or don't, just don't. I had to learn this the hard way. You know, I broke even on that apartment. I think I probably lost money, but I want to tell myself I broke even. That way I don't feel bad about it. But if I would have the money that I have lost, you know, I'd be a multi-millionaire. I don't understand it. I guess I'm a dumb person. I know that. I'm a dumb person. I'm not as witty as some. I'm not as sharp as some. I don't know that that's the backbone of America, though. You know, I don't know what the backbone of America is anymore. Anyway, I have been screwed a lot of times, and I walked away from it. And I said, I don't need it. Just like this guy in Boulder. The man quit paying me last November. Walked away from a $130,000 note. The IRS confiscated his house. They wanted to take the business, but fortunately I had the Secretary of UCC filing with the Secretary of State. They didn't get the equipment. So what do I have to do? I sell everything for a $25,000 bid. That was the bid I got. A good family is going to get the business. It's going to enhance their future. I'm happy to do it. I sell it to them for the $25,000. If I take that off the $130,000 that the guy still owed me, this Doug Davis still owed me, he owes me $105,000. I'm walking away from it. I'm not going to chase him down. I'm not going to go find his dad and shoot him. I'm not going to shoot Doug Davis. I'm not going to shoot his kids. I'd like to. I guess if the opportunity put itself in front of me in the next 60 days, 50 days, whatever it is, I might do it. I do have the wherewithal to do that. But I don't think that's going to happen. If I had the money that I've lost, yeah, I'd be a very wealthy man. But that's the problem. Is it because I have a good nature? Or is it because I'm a coward that I don't chase these people? What is it? I'm not really sure. I've been over backwards to help this guy down there in Boulder make it. He had it for 7 years. How can you fail after 7 years? I'll tell you how you can fail. Drugs. Alcohol. Prostitutes. An oversized ego. I don't know. There's many different ways. That's why this guy failed. He stole some of my equipment. He owes people money down there. He left the place a filthy mess. That evil will be returned to him. If it already hasn't, the guy has had a pretty miserable life. But getting back to me, on the other hand, I have had a perfect life up until 1999. When I found out what the Thompsons had done to me in 92. And I am not going to take it. And I have to use the resources that I have, the wherewithal that I have, the ability that I have, the knowledge that I have, to make this right. I am not walking away from it. Maybe I'm being a coward by doing what I'm doing. Because without a doubt, I'm doing what you have done. I'm lying. I'm conspiring. I'm keeping things secret. And it's going to happen. And I believe that is a coward. You were cowards in the way that you dealt with me. The 10 years that I was in Granby. You people were cowards. That you could come to me and say, Marv, we want you out of this town. We hate you. We hate the FDIC. We hate how you benefited from the FDIC's actions and our misfortune and our stupidity. But none of you had the guts to do that. You had to take me on en masse. Well, I'm going to take you on by myself. It's the only way I know how to do it. I'll be dead when it's over, but that's my conviction. And for the people that are out there that hear this, that can stand listening to it, please pray for me. Pray for my soul. I believe that I'm doing the right thing. I don't think God would have let me get this far if it was the wrong thing. I don't think God would have given me the successful life that I had. I call it successful. I think I was a very poor person most of my life. But I for who I was and what I was, I think I was a very rich man. And I'm thankful to God for giving me that life and giving me what I had. I mean, without a doubt, I made sacrifices. I didn't have a wife. I didn't have family. But God built me that way for a reason. And we're here today. And I'm going to carry that cross. I'm going to fulfill the reason He built me. All right, I'm going to stop again.
Okay, I'm back. It's 10:27. On the 13th of April, in the evening. I hope that the people of Granby learn that the way you punished me over the years that I was down there, and how you punished me, for the most part, turned me into a desperate man. And desperate men do desperate things to recover a lot of times. And just for an example, I'm going to use nature as an example here. In nature, wolves and coyotes and, you know, all the aggressive animals, they have their territory. They have their mates. And in nature, even an animal will fight to protect some of them are, you know, what do they call them, deadbeat dads. But, you know, a mother, just look at the mother, she will fight to protect her young. And she will protect her territory. And a male will definitely protect his territory. If he doesn't, he'll be overrun. Now, if an animal will do this, why wouldn't a man? Now, did my buying that property make you desperate? It shouldn't have. My buying that property should have had no influence on you whatsoever. You should have realized it for what it was and moved on. But it did make you malicious and hateful. And you came after me. And I tried to protect my property, to protect the peace and quiet of that zoning, of the neighbor's zoning, of what they were doing. The guy over at the Broken Arrow, I mean, I know that guy was bribed. It's just too obvious. The new building he got from Cody while the process was going on, don't tell me there wasn't a deal there. Sure, Cody would have given that same building to someone else for the same price he paid for it. But a small price to pay for Cody to get his way. It was all bullshit. You know, why did they get the easements and I didn't? It was because of malice and hate. Why was I so unsuccessful in protecting my property? Because you people needed to be taught a lesson. You all along were thinking that I was the person that needed to be taught a lesson. You were going to show me how it worked in Granby, Colorado. How the real world worked. People, you are so mistaken about the real world. I have walked away from what you've done to me, not on the same scale that you've done to me, on a lesser scale. I've walked away from it many times before. Laughed at you because laughed at the people that were doing it to me because you know it's going to come back to haunt them, one way or another. But this time, I'm not walking away from it. The real world is going to come back and slap you in the face like you have never been slapped before. And maybe that will make you think the next time, a generation from now, when you start screwing an outsider, when you start screwing...